Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
I'm Lisa Dent in for Bob Surratt on 720 WGN. He's enjoying his last week of vacation. And joining us on the phone is Kevin Powell. You're home from Nashville, I would imagine, right?
I was not in Nashville. I stayed local over the weekend.
Oh, so you watch like the rest of us.
I did. I was just a viewer watching the TV. But what a performance by Justin Fields. I mean, I know there's the conversation is who should start week one. It's going to be Andy Dalton, but I mean, Justin Fields checks all the boxes. I know it's just preseason, but I think there's real reason for Bears fans to be excited about Justin Fields.
Kevin Powell, our WGN Radio Afternoon Sports Anchor, is on the phone. Dave Ennett's here in the studio. I spent most of the weekend with my husband watching the Little League World Series back and forth because he loved it. And I always love when they say, weighing in at 97 pounds and 5'1", and he can put his foot behind his head. I love that kind of stuff. And then when I went to watch the Bears game, my husband got up and left because he can't stand my cheering for Justin Fields.
Why?
Well, number one, he's not a Bears fan.
Have a lot to do with it.
And much like you, Dave, he's like, you don't start him right now. You know, he just doesn't.
Well, I'm not that opposed to it. I wouldn't leave the room. I'm just saying I understand what the Bears are doing.
So does he.
Yeah, and I mean, I think that it'll be interesting to see what happens here because they have to make roster cuts. And Kevin, I don't know if you've gone through and dissected the roster to the point where you figure out what the final 53 is going to look like. But it doesn't seem like at this point there are going to be any super shockers, are there?
No, I don't think so. I mean, you look at the two areas where, you know, cuts could be made because there is so much competition. You look at the defensive back area opposite Jalen Johnson. You know, they move on from Kyle Fuller this offseason, that second cornerback position, and the nickel position as well. I mean, that's where it gets a little bit crowded. So I think we'll see some cuts there. And then, you know, obviously at the offensive line position as well, you have, you know, a few guys competing for that left tackle spot. We'll see how that plays out. But I think overall, for the most part, the roster, I shouldn't say seems to be set, but I don't think there's going to be any major shockers. But, with the Justin Fields situation, I I'm with you, Dave. Like, I understand where the Bears are going with this. And it comes down to winning games. But at some point, you know, you kind of think about what the Bears have told Andy Dalton and what they've said publicly. Would be kind of awkward if they just switched to Justin Fields and said, you're the number one quarterback after promising Andy Dalton the number one spot, giving him $10 million. But I do think Justin Fields ends up starting more games this year for the Bears than Andy Dalton.
And the crowd went crazy, at least in my house, among the fans, when the touchdown pass was the last play on the field for him.
It sounds like you were the only fan, though.
Well, I was on the phone with some siblings as well, okay, because I wasn't getting support in my own house. Let's talk about the Sox and the Cubs over the weekend.
Let's talk about it. How about those two guys that the White Sox got from the Cubs? Dylan Cease, who's now the second in strikeouts in the American League, and Eloy Jimenez has been playing well since his return. So it was, you know, Saturday was the day for the Cubs. But other than that, you saw how potent this White Sox lineup can be when fully healthy, and it's just about 100% with the return of Yasmani Grandal. You know, we had the Eloy Jimenez injury in spring training, and then Luis Robert got hurt, and then Yasmani Grandal with the knee injury. And this weekend was kind of a showcase of what this lineup can be when fully healthy. And they weren't even at their full go yesterday, and you saw what the offense was capable of. But, you know, this final month now for the White Sox, I think the big, I shouldn't say questions, but you want to see what kind of pitching staff do you want to roll out into the playoffs. Dallas Keuchel hasn't exactly been all that great, but Ronaldo Lopez been a big surprise what he's been able to do for the White Sox this season since getting called back up. You know, he has shown flashes in the past of what he's capable of, and never was consistent enough, I guess, to become a reliable starter. But this year he's putting it together, and he's looked really good. So Do I think Dallas Keuchel will be a member of the playoff roster? Yes, I do, but unless he continues to struggle over the final month, and he admitted that he hasn't been all that great and reliable. So this final month here for the White Sox, it's just get fully healthy, be full go. But man, you look at Luis Robert, like what he did yesterday, even defensively, the range he showed off, obviously what he could do at the plate. I mean, Luis Robert has a real shot here to be one of the best players in all of baseball over a full season. So they've got everything you can need for a deep postseason run. They really do. I mean, you look at the bullpen, been a little bit shaky lately, but it still is one of the most talented bullpens in all of baseball. You've got Lucas Giolito and Dylan Cease, who are top strikeout leaders in the American League. Lance Lynn, a Cy Young candidate. Carlos Rodon. And again, that lineup is potent. It's powerful.
Kevin Powell, WGN Radio Afternoon Sports Anchor, is joining us. Dave Ennett is in the studio. Javi Baez, the thumbs down shenanigans are coming to an end real quick, right?
I would think so, yeah. He it's just one of those things. We learned this from Lee Ilya over 40 years ago, whatever it was, in the early 80s, I guess 81, 82, when he was managing the Cubs. Never, never take on the fans. I mean, you're not...
Should we play that audio of that back then?
Yeah, we have many times.
With a lot
sanitized
of bleeps.
Version. But there was nothing to gain for Javi Baez in this deal. And mm-hmm. and it's probably going to be a short stay for him in New York. If you look at the New York tabloids this morning, he's on all the covers, and it's not good, and it's only going to be worse for him now, and it already was pretty bad.
Mm-hmm.
Have you, Dave, ever anything like that from an athlete to go directly at the fans like that? I mean, I know we've had incidents here and there, and you mentioned Lee Ilya, but like for them to have this organized thumbs down towards the fans, I can't really think of anything else like that. Just a bad look all around.
Yeah, not to that extent that they took it where it was not just one guy just ripping the fans after a game in the heat of a moment, which I think sometimes. Look, Ted Williams flipped off the fans right in Boston, but he was revered. But that didn't, that today, you can't do that. I mean, you just,
right.
There's no upside in it for you. And I understand he was emotional and felt he and Francisco Lindor thought this was the way to go and kind of started this little communication thing. But, It's going to only get uglier
right.
for him and for the rest of the team now.
And that's, if anybody wasn't paying attention, the Mets have been really bad lately. They've fallen out of playoff contention after being buyers at the deadline and making a move for Baez. Like, you're not in a playoff spot. It's just, it was a rough look. I couldn't believe what I saw yesterday when I saw, of course, Twitter exploded about it.
Oh,
and that was no surprise. So, yeah, just not a good look.
We'll be listening for you this afternoon, Kevin. Thanks so much for calling the show.
All right. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.